This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 18th, episode 2333, brought to you by Stateline Tack. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man?
Dancing through the snow.
By the way, congratulate me this Christmas. I'm going for it. No antidepressants.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We appreciate you being here. And this is a special episode for us. It's our annual Horses in the Morning review show. What's that? Well, Jamie and I, we're all by ourselves today, and we're just looking back at the year on Horses in the Morning and the year in general and the year in some of our listeners' lives.
You say it's annual, but have we ever done this before?
Yeah, we have.
Okay. Yes. I don't know. I don't remember yesterday.
Yes, we have. I don't know that we've dedicated an entire episode to it, but we've definitely done this before. So we're going to give you our we're also going to get our thoughts and input from our auditors on what they learned this year. And we're going to talk about our favorite episodes and memorable guests. And we have some other special things planned for you as well. So I think it's going to be kind of fun. I was looking forward to today. It also kind of means that my work year is almost over.
I mean, you're almost done. You're so close.
I know. A couple days away from vacation. I'm so happy about that. So let's get on with it. Some daily winnies. And this is the time of year when all the auditors get really mad at me that have birthdays around this time because I say happy birthday to everybody for the rest of the year.
Is that what you're going to do right now?
That's what I'm going to do right now. Happy birthday! And now you can all get mad at me because every year you don't get me to read your birthdays because we're off on the holidays. So everybody has a birthday around Christmas. We see comments every year about that.
You're a jerk, man.
Sorry, everybody, but you know we do need to take some time off sometime. So yes, happy birthday to all of you who are unfortunately born around Christmas time for many, many reasons. So send your letters to Jennifer at horseradio.com.
Or they send them to me. All right, I have a couple daily winnies. One goes to, oh my God, did you see what I got in the mail for Christmas? I was like, Christmas is canceled. I'm done. I don't need anything else. I got a Shy Boy Briar sent to me by Monty Roberts and autographed by Monty Roberts. I mean, I didn't have a
That's
Shy Boy
got
Briar.
Shy Boy, that has to be 20 years old, doesn't it?
It's fairly old, and so it's a classic. I am under no preconceived notions that Monty actually bought it on eBay and then sent it to me.
Oh, is that how they got it? They didn't even have one?
They didn't have one. Okay, this is what I wanted to bring up. How about the woman who has a Shy Boy Briar on eBay for sale that then sells it and ships it to Monty Roberts in California?
Probably charged him $400 for it.
I thought it was so funny. All right,
now, what I'm shocked at is you didn't have a Shy Boy.
I didn't have a Shy Boy, no. I just basically have racehorses. I tried to grow up and be a big girl and not like
keep
continue
collecting.
To buy model horses.
Do you have a mantle in the new house you can put all these on?
I will, damn it. Right now, I have nothing. I have cinder block walls. It's a nightmare.
But
so,
in the new
yes,
house, you'll have something. A place. There'll be a place.
I will have an office with a blanket, my new blanket hanging up on the wall. It's going to be amazing.
You're going to have a studio for the first time ever.
I know. I'm so excited. Not just this tiny little closet I'm in. But I also have another daily Winnie.
Okay. Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay.
So thank you, Debbie, by the way, for putting all that together. And thanks, Monty, for being the middleman, signing it and sending it on and, you know, gentling Shy Boy in the Wild. Anyway, next Daily Winnie goes to a listener named Olivia Mendenhall. She sent me a letter. She listens to Horses in the Morning, and she has really been enjoying the Santa's letters and Santa
kids.
From kids and shopping lists and all that. So she sent me one. And this is from Jeremy. I hope not. Dear God, I hope not. Okay. But this is from Jeremy. And I just thought I would read what's happening. And keep in mind that none of this is spelled correctly. And it is some in uppercase, some in lowercase, you know, all that. So it's kind of a mess. And Dear Santa, D-E-E-R. Okay. Dear Santa, I am writing this on the day after Christmas, no, the day after Xmas, and I am very sad. I only received one of the two presents I asked for. Since you ate my cookies, I will assume that my missing gift was a mistake. M-I-S-S-S-P-A-S-T-A-K. Yeah, assume is spelled A-S-O-O-M. Okay. My missing gift was a mistake. I will give you 1 week to fix this. Jeremy.
Or else.
Santa wrote back.
Oh.
Dear Jeremy, I'm sorry you are disappointed with your presents. You ask for two very expensive presents, and Santa can only do so much. You need to learn to be grateful for what you have, not upset about what you don't. If you continue to complain, I will have no choice but to add you to the naughty list next year. Jeremy wrote back. Dear Fatty, your threats don't scare me. I played your game and you did not deliver. This is not okay. I will give you 1 week and then you will pay. Jeremy, P.S. I don't know why you care that it is expensive when you have elf slaves to make things for you. I think you are naughty for having elf slaves. Santa wrote back.
This kid has issues.
Dear Jeremy, you are being a very bad little boy because you cannot be happy with what you have. I have talked to your parents and told them to take away your Wii. Now you have nothing. Once you learn to be grateful, perhaps you can give it back. Have it back. I am very disappointed in you, Jeremy. You will need to be an extra good boy this year if you want to make it back on the nice list. Well, we're going to read one more response from Jeremy to that. Dear Santa, I do not like that stunt you pulled with my parents.
Oh, apparently parents did it, huh?
You are on my naughty list now. Be afraid. You look this is where it gets a little dark. You look slow and easy to kill. Enjoy your cookies next year because they will be poison. Jeez. I hope you die, Jeremy.
This kid's going to be in the juvenile detention center by the time he's 11.
You know, I was like, this has to be fake, but each one of these is written the exact same way with the exact same handwriting and the exact same everything. I was like,
would you have the guts as a parent to take something like that away if you're...
If I was afraid my kid would murder me? I don't think so. But we have had the Tooth Fairy write letters to Lucas and back. So
oh, really?
I'm not afraid. I would be afraid to have Santa write back.
Wow. Santa's being tough here.
Jeremy's a psycho.
Yes,
so thanks, Olivia, for sending
that. Juvenile delinquent by 11.
Bless his heart.
Eight, maybe. It's like, ooh, I'd be afraid to live in that house.
Let's go on to something.
Yeah, let's
happy.
Go on to something happier. How about some stats from the year? We always take a look back at the previous year on Horses in the Morning. Well, we've produced 245 episodes, almost 300 hours of programming. It would take you, if you were listening 8 hours a day, 38 days to listen to it, our show, just from this year.
This year?
So everybody, think about it, everybody. If you've listened to every episode, I know a lot of you have, of our show this year, you've spent 38 8-hour days listening. So that's a month. We've had over 500 guests, over 20 different hosts, and fill-in co-hosts, of course, all the Tuesdays and Thursdays, and all of those as well.
This surprises me. How they keep coming.
Yeah, I know. We've read over 600 really bad ads. That's and we've given away, including Radiothon, over $14,000 in prizes.
Wow.
That's amazing. Now, I went back and did some stats. Some of these are guesstimates, but they're pretty close. I did some stats from day one, November 1st, 2010. So going all the way back to the beginning.
Is this the first day of Hit'em?
Yes, first day of Horses in the Morning. Now, this isn't even Horse Radio Network. This is just Horse in the Morning. We've produced 2,350 episodes because there were some special episodes thrown in there and extra episodes and stuff. We've had almost 2,800 hours of programming. If you're listening 8 hours a day, it would take you 342 days to listen to all of it. That's almost a year.
I'm exhausted.
We've had over 4,500 guests, over 30 different hosts. We've read over 5,000 really bad ads, and we've given away over $50,000 in prizes.
So, wow.
I can't. There are not too many podcasts out there that could spout these numbers off.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, I'm proud to be part of it. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we sit here and we talk. But I know that some people listen in like fast forward, you know, they listen super fast speed.
As chipmunks.
As chipmunks. And then there's some people that are listening but are doing other things and maybe not, you know, glean all of the information. So we went to our auditors and asked them, as we like to, when we remember, do at the end of our show, ask each other what we learned today. We ask our auditors, what did you learn today?
Actually, we asked them, what did you learn this year? What did you take away from this year?
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah, Same thing. So the first one, we told them we wouldn't give any names. I don't know what their names anyway. But what this one says, at the risk of sounding terribly cheesy, Horses in the Morning has inspired me to be a better horsewoman and probably a better person. I used to get mad when my horses wouldn't load in the trailer easily. Now I take my time to understand them. I used to get frustrated when they would spook. Now I take the time to work through what scares them. The partnership I have with my horses is so much better now than it was a year ago. So what I've learned is patience, acceptance, keen observation, plus many tools and resources to work with what I discover, observe, and find.
Well, that, I got to say, that comes back to you. It comes back to Mary Kitzmiller and some of the other hosts that are on the show, because, you know, it's you guys that have really pounded home the patience thing. And this is on our episodes and also on the Tuesday and Thursday episodes. It's all the same message. But you especially have, you know, since your Monty certification and your work with Monty, I mean, that's inspired a lot of people to be better horse people, including myself, by the way.
Oh, me too. I really learned a lot.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's really sweet.
You know, if we can do that with 100 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, and keep that, and they then do it with other people, then we have a better horse world, don't we? And that's what Monty's preached all since the beginning of time.
Thank you for putting it in that perspective. You know, this person.
Well, they board with somebody. They have friends that are, you know, that she, you know, I happen to know this person works with groups of people, and hopefully that group of people sees her being patient loading her horses, you know? So, we joke about this being a fun show where we're here to entertain, but you know what? We're also here to learn, and we're always here to learn. We're always constantly learning. So if we're learning to be better people, there's nothing better than that.
Wow.
That's really cool. I never thought Horses in the Morning would bring us to this point. So,
no, it wasn't supposed to be that.
No. It's supposed to be just helping you get through your day in a funny, entertaining way. But if you also learn something about yourself and how you deal with your horses and it makes you a better horse person, then our job is done. We can quit. I mean, do we have to keep doing it then? Are we done?
Please, I really need this job.
You're building a studio and then we quit. We're going to be here. Don't panic. The next one said, a couple of auditors wrote this. Actually, this is more than one. I learned just how exponentially expensive keeping multiple draft horses is. I could have told you that one. You should have also learned that on the show, because I've talked about how expensive our draft horses were. It's the reason that, Jennifer, I want so bad to get another Percheron. I love Percherons.
You can't afford the hay.
I know. That's it. In Florida, we can't. If we lived up north, maybe someplace, we'd do that. But I can't afford the hay down here. I mean, our hay is already costing us a fortune. It was so funny. I got to tell you this story. So I asked Jennifer, what do you want for Christmas? Because she'll never tell me. Because she really doesn't want anything.
Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, you know Jennifer. She's not a thing person. So she finally said, because I got a new bike, she wanted a new bike. Her bike was pretty crappy. And she likes
a good bike. She wants a draft horse?
No, I wish. So I take her bike shopping, and we get it. I said, this time you're not buying a crappy Walmart bike. We've had problems with those in the past. You're getting a nice bike. So we went to the actual bike store, you know, where they sell the expensive bikes. And I think this bike that we got ended up getting her was around $700, which was the low end of the expensive bikes, by the way.
Wow.
So, but it's a really nice bike, and it's exactly what she wanted. And, you know, she's like, I can't rationalize spending $700 on a bike. And I said, let's take a look at this. You spend $300 every 6 weeks on your horse's shoes. So in 12 weeks, we bought a bike.
Wow, your shoes are expensive.
She gets those glue-on fancy things. So, yes. And then once she looked at it that way and went, and then I said, if you add in the hay and everything, basically it's 1 month worth of horse care and we're buying a bike that's going to last you 10 years. All of a sudden, the argument was over. And
I'm with you, Jennifer. $700 for a bike.
See? But yet you'll spend $300 on your horse's shoes every 6 weeks.
I don't. That's crazy.
Well, that's what you get for having a horse with bad feet. But it's true. I mean, it's all relative, isn't it? It's all how much you want to spend on what you think is important.
Look, Chad just walked in. I'm not going to talk about how much I spend on horses, okay?
Topic over. Next.
Moving on. Another listener said that I learned that to train a horse, you first need movement. Then you can direct the movement. Then you can refine the movement. Likewise, with the blues or depression, you just need to get moving in any direction. With that momentum, you can figure out what you should really be doing. From there, you can start to be productive. Wow, that horsemanship bled into real life.
Well, you know, it's funny because Jennifer's always said to me when I've been depressed we've all been there where you're totally overwhelmed and you don't feel like doing anything but sleeping and not getting out of bed.
Yeah, mine's PMS. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, but she's always told me, and when things seem overwhelming, when debts are there, whatever it is, over a lifetime, we all have those. She said, just do something. And that's been her sayings for the 30 years I've been married to her, is just do something. When you're doing something, you're at least moving your feet, right? I mean, I never thought about it in the horse correlation before, but you're doing something which leads to something else, which leads to something else. If you're laying in bed, you're not solving any problem. Mm-hmm. So she always said, do the small things. Do the things you know you can do in your current state, even when I have Lyme and that's acting up. That's what I do. I do the small things I know I can do, and then it just gets you moving. And boy,
you know, that's interesting because when I would work a lot, like I would just have psychotic, when I did radio, I would just have these days that were just going to be so awful, just so busy, so much. And I would make a list of like all the things I had to do. And I would leave it on my seat in my car. And as I did one, I would just check it off until I was like, oh my God, I'm halfway through. You know, you just did something. I used to do that in church too. They'd sing this hymn, check. Yeah. Okay. That guy did that talk, check.
But it's so true. I mean, it is true that, and everybody that has depression knows this. And we, you know, we have a lot of listeners that's been a discussion on the auditor page quite a bit, actually.
We all have some sort of brain issue. So, I mean, obviously we have horses, so it can't be normal. But yes, just keep moving. I like that.
Yeah. I learned that I can get through a 50-mile endurance ride without dying. The day after is a different story. Well, there's a life lesson, too. The day after a lot of things is a different story.
I'll tell you what. The 2 days after doing 9,000 squats and wall sits and planks and all the crap I had to do yesterday in kickboxing, yeah, tomorrow's going to be a different story, too.
Well, you know, the day after is always a different story, too, if there's been a lot of drinking involved the night before. So there's that. So, yeah.
So pretty much that can apply to almost anything.
A lot of these apply to life, too. It's funny how horses also apply to life.
I love this one. Again, these are things that our auditors have learned for the year by listening to us. And one person said, I have learned how to use the phrase, It's like it was free. And hashtag damn it, Zeus. Also what it means to be that girl. Thank you for the education, serious and not so serious, Glenn, Jamie, and the HR and crew.
Well, this is for all of you then.
I don't wanna be that girl. That girl, that girl, that girl.
Yeah.
We've all been
I'm so
girl.
Proud of that.
Yeah, it's your legacy in life. You know that, right? Damn it, Zeus. It's like it was free. And that girl. That's what you're known for. Those three things.
That. Like, that's what I want to be known
that's
for.
That's your trilogy. It's going to be on your tombstone. I guarantee you Chad's going to be putting that in your tombstone. It's like it was free.
That, or he's going to, it's either going to be that, it's like it was free, or the tombstone's going to say, here lies Jamie. Where's my phone? Does anybody see my phone? One
like
of those.
That one too. And the tombstone's going to be in the shape of an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good idea.
I need to email him that, actually.
Write that down.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Another person wrote, I learned preparing for and entering a thoroughbred makeover is exhausting.
Did you write this?
No, I didn't write that, but it's very true. Also, stories about Mustangs doing amazing things make me cry.
Are you
oh my
sure
God.
You didn't write this?
It's like, it's me. To enter the thoroughbred makeover, there are so many things that you have to do, and you have to do them at specific dates. And I think I know the listener that's currently entering the makeover and is frustrated with how difficult it is. And it seems difficult when you look at the list of things, but as I
well,
said,
you have
write
to
them
qualify.
All down.
That's the first thing, right? Don't they, you have to be accepted?
You have to be accepted. Yeah, you have to be accepted. You have to get vet recommendations. You have to get other training recommendations. You have to send videos of yourself riding. You have to have, oh my God, the list is like incredibly long. But again, write them all down, check them off one at a time. And I mean, the horses have to have a vaccine within a certain window. They have to be microchipped with the jockey club, register with the jockey club. There's so much work that goes into it. But if you just do it, like one thing, a day, it's not that big. It's not that bad. I actually found that part to be very overwhelming, but once you just tick them off, it was no big deal.
I want to talk to you about the makeovers. Is that something we're going to talk about in the second half of the show?
Most likely.
Okay. All right, good. All right. I learned another one. I learned that your perspective as a horse owner changes dramatically when you bring your horses home. Earlier, I wanted saddles, bridles, and expensive shampoo. Now I want gravel, heated water buckets, boots that can keep the mud season out, and a tractor. Please, Santa, I want a tractor.
Amen,
oh, how
sister,
things
brother.
Change when you bring your horses home from boarding.
I do want to, I got my kingdom for gravel.
you have a tractor, right?
You have a tractor? Yeah, yeah. I bought it off
Oh, that's right, when you moved to Oklahoma. That's right.
We actually bought it before we even moved here. Because I saw it on Oklahoma's swap meet page and it was like a super great price. And I was like, called him. I was like, we're on our way. Chad, let's get on a flight. So we bought the tractor. We have, oh my God, to have heated waterers is the most amazing thing I think ever. Heated automatic waterers. Automatic waterers, period.
Yeah, they're really nice.
I got to say that it was by far the most expensive thing that we did in building this barn, but it is by far the best investment ever.
This is the first farm we've ever lived at that has the automatic waterers out in the paddocks. We've
yeah,
never
I don't
had
have
that.
That.
And we used to have to, you know, take the hose out and fill them up, which in the winter just sucked.
I just leave the back doors of them because I made Dutch doors. So one big pasture with most of the horses has access to the barn. So I'm like, y'all want it? Come in and drink from your heated automatic waters. I just open the back doors with the stalls.
How many times did we bring the hoses into our back porch in the house? And I'm sure other people do that too.
Oh, remember I did it last year and I came out, I brought the hose into the house, but I didn't know you needed to drain the hose right. before you brought the hose
or
in
it
the house.
Just took it to itself. People learn that too.
See, I didn't know that either, and I'm like, why is there a ginormous, like, my kitchen is flooded. All the water ran out of the hose. I didn't know.
That's funny.
Yeah, that sucked. I'm sorry for people that still have to deal with that. Oh, that's what I would ask Santa for.
Heated water buckets.
Finding the right horse is hard. Wait, did I skip one?
Yes.
I did.
Yep.
Okay.
I learned.
I learned that we are all doing the best for our horses, dogs, cats, chickens, guinea pigs.
I think she's talking about you again.
I know. Like, I wrote this. These people are all, well, they're all
listeners.
My people.
Yeah.
With the knowledge that we have. We're all doing the best we can with the knowledge we have. We all love horses and animals, and we're here to support one another and have some fun along the way. We have all been that girl. Yes, sisters. Everyone has stepped out of a boot into manure.
That's so
we have
true.
All been humbled. We all do stupid things. We have all fallen, and we all get up and continue forward in search of a better way to be a better person, not only for our horses, but to everything and everyone. Oh, my God. I want to give you a hug. I don't know who wrote this. It's beautiful. That's really nice.
And that's true. Well, it goes back to what we talked about before.
I went to my son's, you know, you have to have like a teacher conference, parent teacher conference. Mm. And I was like, okay, yeah, I know. He gets like A's on everything. He knows how to read. He does all this stuff. Is my kid an asshole? And she was like, what? I'm like, just please tell me he's not an asshole. She's like, no,
did you use
he's
those
really...
words with the teacher?
Yes. Yes. I think Chad crawled under the table. And I was like, I just want to make sure he's not, you know, like, and she was like, no, he's really nice. And I was like, okay, good. Then I've done my job. I don't care what you, husband handled the grade.
She now wrote on your report card.
Yeah. Oh, God.
She's going, how did the kid end up so nice and not swearing all the time? Another one is, just because you like the horse doesn't mean it's the right horse for you. And that's okay. Life's too short not to enjoy the ride. Oh, you could have taught a lesson on that one. I mean, we've talked about this so many times about falling in love with the horse when it's not the right horse for you. And it usually doesn't end up well. I mean, and we've all had that horse. It's not just this person. I've had horses that I've had to sell because they weren't the right horse for me. And they ended up in a place where they were supposed to be. That's the other thing. When you do pass them on to somebody else, they usually end up where they're supposed to be. You know, everybody remembers Beaker, and Jennifer sold Beaker before she got Nigel, and he was like the perfect horse. And by the way, he's still the perfect horse. He still lives in our neighborhood, and the 11-year-old that bought him is now like 14, and she's still riding him to fox hunts and everything else, jumping him, and he's like, that's the place he was supposed to end up was with 11-year-old, because he's the horse that an 11-year-old should have. So
love it.
Yeah. So I do think that we all go through that one.
Precious Magic Gallop Jennings, I just got an update, and they're riding her all over California. They pony her. She goes on trail rides. She's like the best trail horse ever. So
and what's crazy is that horse was a rescue from California, right?
Yeah, she was up in North. She was kind of abandoned.
She ended up with the place where she was supposed to be.
Yep, she sure did. Finding the right horse is hard. So far, we've evaluated 8, looked at hundreds online. I'm searching for the right combo of size, strength, temperament, training, and price. I feel like I'm looking for a needle in the haystack. You just got to keep looking, girl. Never settle. Never settle. I had a client that pre-purchased 5 horses. And the 5th, every one of them failed. The 5th one failed, but she bought it anyway. So that's a can't take it, which the horse worked out to be great. So no problem. But it's just one of those things. You just keep looking. It sucks. I know. But she bought the wrong horse before she bought the right horse. And that cost more than waiting, you know, for a longer time. So hang in there.
And if you're just tuning in live, we're going over some things our auditors learned for this year. And then we're going to come back and kind of in the second half of the show and talk about our favorite things of the year, our favorite episodes, our favorite guests. And we're going to look back a bit. The next one, and we have a few more. I learned that always going back to the foundation of training for both horse and rider, just for practice, is essential for being successful, even when you both know how to do it all already. I guess you can call it reinforcing the foundation. I also learned that old crippled seniors can still get up and go when they really want to. Yes,
oh,
they
boy,
can.
That didn't sound like that. That didn't sound
amen,
like
sister. I didn't write that one, by the way.
The next one is, I learned that chestnut mares sometimes deserve their reputation. I learned that time on the trail is a never of waste of time because all rides are training rides. I learned that washing my biothane tack in the dishwasher is a fantastic thing.
I still wash my harness in the dishwasher. It's so great.
That'd be divorce. Maybe most importantly, I learned that having a brave little mare opened up a whole new world of adventure and friendships for me. I'm now indebted to my horse for more than ever I can repay. Aw.
There was an open-minded person that didn't listen to the stereotype like some people on this show have, and they got a chestnut mare, and look how wonderful it turned out after some trials and tribulations, it sounds like.
Speaking of chestnut mares, chestnut fillies, baby Zara will be started probably this month. And
how
actually,
old is
I
that
think
kid now?
She'll be three January 12th.
Oh, my 12th. God, really?
So, yeah, she long lines, she does all this stuff, and she will be for sale to the right home. God, just so you know, anybody wants chestnut Zara, beautiful Oldenburg mare.
I forget who I was talking to, a fellow podcaster last night. And we're talking about how we've been doing this show for almost 10 years and how our basic, all of our lives, you and I, our lives have been out in the open for 10 years when we've gone through some crap in 10 years.
And some I don't know what you're talking about. Stuff. My life is perfect.
Yeah. I have learned that I have nothing to lose by saying yes except pride. I have learned how not to care what other thinks about my performance, progress, whatever. I am not perfect. I still let some people's words get to me, but it's so liberating most of the time. God, there's our life. We can't let people's words get to us or we wouldn't be here. So, yeah, this applies to life too.
Well, I think we're hearing a lot of nice words, too. So yeah. Hopefully this person hears
that
a lot
helps.
Of nice words.
Yeah, too. That helps. Two more.
I have learned to really trust my gut and just go for it. Do stuff for myself and my horses and don't look back. You cannot please everyone, but you can live a much happier life doing your own thing and staying in your own lane. I unfortunately learned about loss to a horse that truly had 100% of my heart. And I also learned that it's okay to reopen your heart and find another horse that touches your soul. It aids in the healing. Aww. Do your thing or you be you.
Yeah. I mean, we all learned at some point in life, some later than others, that you can't live another person's life.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, the hikers all have the saying, you hike your own hike. And, well, that applies to life, too, doesn't it? We all have to hike our own hike.
That, and if you ask Lucas, I'll say, ELE, buddy. And he's like, I know, Mom. And you say, what does ELE mean?
That's what I was going to say.
and you go, he'll go, everybody love everybody. Rolling his eyes. Okay, hold on.
And the last one.
You do the last one and then play State Line Tack. My Basset Hound has decided to get out of bed and needs to go potty.
Okay. The last one is I learned that I don't even know what I don't know. And that is so true. We all don't know what we don't know. And it's why we're going to continue doing this show because we keep learning as well, too. So, yeah, that's I love that as the final one because we don't know what we don't know. And that's why we still have a capacity to learn. That's why we had 500 guests on the show this year. And we'll have 500 more next year because we're all going to keep learning and, you know, hopefully learning what we don't know. And expanding our futures and our lives a little bit. We can never stop learning. And I don't care how old you are, even us seniors. Well, State Line Tack is our sponsor. And right now it's time to start thinking about gift certificates. You know, gift certificates are approved. They're approved by horse husbands. They're approved by horse wives. Matter of fact, I think most horse wives would rather get a gift certificate than what we as horse husbands would think to get them in the first place because we're usually wrong. And I wanted to mention that statelinetack.com/HRN, if you use the coupon code HRN when you go to that page, you're going to get 30% savings on your next order. So head over to Stateline Tack. If you're running out of time to get that present, I know Jennifer and I just bought a bunch of gift cards yesterday. So if you're running out of time, go ahead and buy that gift card today. Get it from Stateline Tack. I don't think they give you 30%
off.
I don't think they give you 30% off gift cards, though. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think so. Usually,
yeah, but you could buy the gift card, give it to somebody and
then tell
and
them to use the code.
It.
And it's good till the end of the year. So it's good till the 31st. So yeah, if you are stuck for something to buy, then go for State Line Tack at statelinetack.com/HRN.
And my mother-in-law asked me what I wanted yesterday. I should have said that. I was like, I don't need anything.
Yeah. You know, people sometimes consider giving gift certificates as the last resort. You haven't thought about the gift. I think most people would rather buy what they want. Especially as you get older. As you get older, you want to buy what you want, right?
It's kind of true.
It is true. So anyway, that's that. Now, I did want to mention, as far as schedule for the rest of the year, we'll be here tomorrow with the fox hunting episode. And Friday, we're just, Jamie's going to be here. Jamie and I will be here, and Jennifer's going to be here. And we're going to play a little Christmas trivia with some of our auditors. Friday's going to be an all holiday, all Christmas show. We're just going to have fun. It's going to be light and lively, and just going to take our year out. And then for the next couple of weeks, while we're off for the holidays, we will have shows for you coming out on the feeds. There'll be no live, and then we'll come back live on January the 2nd. So hopefully Jamie gets to go away a little bit on vacation. We're going to enjoy some time here in Florida, so we're looking forward to that. I need a break, to be honest.
I don't need a break. I finally have work to do, which is awesome.
That's right. You have horses to train. So.
Yes.
Let's hope the weather cooperates. And our thoughts to everybody who had the tornadoes and everything and the bad weather, snow and ice and all of that. So our thoughts are with you. Let's talk about our favorite things from the year. And, you know, a lot of this has hit them and then other things as well. But how about favorite episodes? Did you have some favorite episodes from the year?
Well, you know, they kind of go along with the favorite guests. But I'll start with one of my favorite episodes was when we had John Schneider on to talk about the Angola Prison Rodeo.
Oh,
John Schneider
forgot about that.
Was Bo Duke, or was he Luke Duke? Bo.
I forgot about Luke that.
He was, anyway,
he was a great guest.
He was so good. I mean, the guy's been doing media for like a billion years, so he gets it. He understands. He was so delightful to talk to and so funny, and I just really liked having him on. I had a couple of favorites, though. So do you have one?
Yeah, I had one that went back to March 27th, and it was when we had the L.A. screenwriter Gene Rosenberg on, where she talked to us about the behind the scenes of horsey movie making and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had written that one down as I went along the way as one of my favorites to put into best ofs, because she was a fascinating person. So she was on my list.
Another one was, I love doing the musical episodes, and to do a album release for Jared Rogerson, that was September. By the way, that John Schneider was October 23rd. The Jared Rogerson release musical episode was September 27th. Just some really great songs.
I had a Horse Husbands one that we did back in January of 2019, and it was the Manly Men Quiz. And we had found these lists of what makes you a manly man, and we had a couple of guests on who were seriously manly men. I mean, really seriously manly men.
How epically bad did you feel?
Joseph was more manly man than me. I was bottom of the heap.
This is my surprised face.
Yeah, I was bottom, but it was a fun episode, and those two guys were great. So it was called the Manly Men Quiz, and it was back in January. It was one of my favorite episodes.
Another one of my favorite episodes was, I had a couple from Retired Racehorse Radio, because it was the year of the racehorse for me, as far as...
And we started that show this year, right?
That show this year, and Joy and I were live from the Kentucky three-day event, and we talked to, had on that show, Rosie Napravnik.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, who's never talked to you, but has talked to me several times.
Yeah.
And
like
Nick Larkin, who was the first winner of the four-star in Kentucky, the first ever inaugural four-star on his horse Red, and then was my coach for many years after that. So it was really nice to catch up with him and revisit. And then the next Retired Racehorse, that was number 7. Number 12 was probably one of the coolest things I've ever done. And this kind of bleeds into the next question, which was your favorite guest. Oh my gosh, to sit in Monty Roberts' parlor, I guess it's called a parlor, it's a fancy room, and sit down with Monty and Lafitte Pinkeye Jr., who's like the winningest jockey of all time in the history of the world, who rode Sham against Secretariat. You know, he's ridden Affirmed. He rode pretty much any Genuine Risk, any horse that was amazing and successful in the 70s and 80s. And to sit there and he's so cool, man. That dude is awesome. Just like dressed nice, like really sweet, had this young hot girlfriend. He was just really, really cool. Like, you just want to hang out with that guy. So to sit with those two, that was Retired Racehorse number 12. And just to talk to him and pick his brain about horses that he's ridden in situations. And these guys remember everything, you know, they remember everything. So
it's amazing.
Really cool.
They ride 7,000 races and remember individual things in a race.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I came around the corner. Yeah. And then I gave him a little cluck.
I don't know how they do that.
I know, right? It's crazy. It was really cool.
And we'll put, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put links to these episodes in our show notes. So if you want to go back and listen to any of these, you can.
Okay. We'll
do that. Let's talk about favorite guests. I'll go first. John Fusco.
He was that this year?
It was this year, believe it or not. It was in March. We had him on this year, and he was such a good guest. It was, and you did such a great job interviewing him. But yeah, he was on my list. I'm sure he's on yours too. But
he is, and yeah. I'm trying really hard. I tried really hard to get him for Radiothon, and I was like, "Hey, can we record with you?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And I was like, "When do you have available?" Thinking like in the next couple of days, and he was like, "March." Okay, I forgot you're
next year,
kind of a big deal.
Next year.
Kind of a big deal. Yes, he's one of. He's definitely on my list as well. The Lafitte and Monty, John Fusco. We on Retired Racehorse Radio had Lenny Shulman on, and he was the author of the Justify book. Plus, he's a really big deal writer, and he's really an impressive guy. And it was really fun to talk to him too.
I have a couple too that are more ongoing things that we did this year, that we started this year, segments that we did, and that's Abby doing the Chronicle History. You know how I love history.
Yeah.
And I love doing Stable Scoop because it's all stories about history. Well, Abby's been coming on and doing the Chronicle History with us once a month, and I just love that segment because it's so interesting to hear about what's happened 100 years ago.
Well, especially when she's like, oh my God, we're going to go way back in history to like 1996, and I'm like, you are a child.
I know. That made me feel really old, by the way.
So now she's going 100 years back because we made fun of her.
She at least has to be before she was born. Well, that's not too old either. But yeah, and also Jessica Isbrecht, who we've been following this year on her travels across the country with her horses and her trailer, riding everywhere in the country, just because one, it's been so much fun to follow. And I just don't mean on our show, but also on her Facebook page with all the pictures and all of her trials and tribulations and the beautiful scenery she's seen and the amazing places she's rode. It's just, I just been, because it's everybody's dream to do what she's doing right now.
Yeah.
She's actually living her dream right there. And also Robin Hutton. She had her new book out and she's always a great guest. I just like having her on. I could talk to her all day. And again, she's history. Really- kind of ties into that too, right?
She's really great. My last one was Dorothy Crowell, Dorothy Trapp from the 80s and 90s event rider, and to have her on talking about the way she trains a lot of her off the track thoroughbreds on Retired Racehorse Radio, and she long lines them through like gymnastics. That's some skill I don't even have. So she's amazing, and she is an Olympian. Very, very, very cool.
Now I had, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask this one till this morning, is our most proud accomplishment that, not horses in the morning, just in life.
Oh, gosh.
Or it can be horse in the morning. I don't care. You know, whatever.
Okay. Well, no, I mean.
You have 1,000 this year, I would think.
It was a pretty good year. I'm not going to lie. Achieving and qualifying and competing and being fairly successful in the Thoroughbred Makeover was amazing. I mean, to take a 4-year-old off the track, and for the first year, I didn't even have a first half of the year. I didn't even have an arena or anything. I was training him in a field. To be able to achieve that, what I achieved, and I mean, the eventing portion was kind of secondary to me after the challenge that you gave me about doing the freestyle, and to finish 11th in freestyle, which was
out of a lot of freestyle. I mean, there wasn't 12.
No, there wasn't 11, which is usually my MO. And I don't even care how I finished. To go in there and execute what I executed, and I didn't tell you, and that's the thing, is keeping it a secret for an entire year of what my plan was and what my goals were. But I went
and
in there,
I never asked all year long. I wasn't bugging her endlessly about what she was going to do.
No, I'm sure you asked, but I just told you I wasn't going to tell you. But to teach a horse to shoot bows and arrows and be cantering around shooting.
You didn't miss one. You shot 10 and didn't miss one.
I hit the target every time.
That's crazy.
I had never even practiced it that way.
And you didn't hit any of your handlers who were down on the floor, which is amazing too.
I killed no one. And so that was definitely an accomplishment, achievement to get there, to compete, to be there to keep a horse. Oh my God. Like the last month, you're just a mess because you've made all your plans. You've booked all your things. And then you're like, please don't get hurt. So to keep the horse sound and safe and sane up until then was great. And it was nice to give him a couple months off afterwards. Like, okay, you need to be a baby horse now. So it was really awesome. So that's one of my proud accomplishments.
But you've had a bunch too. I mean, the new farm, all the new training you're doing, actually putting Monty Roberts training into action this year with a lot of horses.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize it till I usually make a photo album of things that Chad and I have, and Lucas have done all year. And I was like, oh my God, like we didn't get the barn built until March. Like, right before Stan Lee was born. And speaking of that, I had a baby. Yeah, not a human baby. Yeah. I had a horsey baby. I got a colt, finally, who's going to be getting gelded, hopefully, over the Christmas break.
You started building a house. Now, when are you supposed to move into that sucker?
9.5 years. No, I think they're thinking March. So, June.
Are you amazed at how long it takes to build a house?
We're going to get into that a little bit later when ask me what jobs I don't want to have. You know what I'm also proud of real quick? I'll finish it up and let you go. Is I started kickboxing March of last year. And since then I've lost like 5 inches off my waist, over 10 pounds, and I just feel better. So I do that twice a week religiously. And I'm really, I've never worked out or been like a gym rat ever. And to do this, I take a female kickboxing class. It's so fun. It's so fun.
Are you a black belt yet? Are there belts in kickboxing?
They don't do belts. It's kind of a bunch of girls just kicking the crap out of pads and other
people. Do you
ever
kick each other? Do you ever get in the ring and spar?
Well, my farrier started coming to kickboxing, and she's like 6 feet tall with legs up to her neck, you know? And so I think 3 times now, she has just absolutely kicked the crap out of it. Like, I was like, I don't need my ovaries anymore, thank God, because they're gone. They're destroyed. You just kicked me in the ovary. So we definitely by accident kick each other and hit each other, but not on purpose.
You think.
Oh, God, that's good. I'm going to call her out on that.
All the times you made her do crappy horses, she's just getting you back. So, I think with me, you know, it's kind of tough because Jennifer and I work like 100 hours a week on this little job we have. So it's kind of tough to think about anything outside of that. You know, I think it was, we had a lot of trials and tribulations that the listeners don't know about this year, keeping HRN running, you know, with all the shows. We had new shows coming on, old shows coming off. I mean, it's, a lot of times people ask me, why do shows just disappear? It's mostly because the hosts, for some reason, can't do them anymore.
Which is kind of the situation with most podcasts. Yeah. If you look, there's an end date.
Yeah. I mean, and the host just can't do them anymore for whatever reason. Life goes on, right? People have lives and things change. And that's just the way it is. And when
sponsors
you're running,
sponsors came and went this year, which has got to be stressful for you.
Yeah, it is because I'm in charge of selling all the sponsors too. So, I mean, I'm always looking at that, how we pay the bills, how we do all of that stuff. And it, you know, it's, and we put out a lot of episodes every month. It's a ton of work. I'm really proud again. And I hate doing it every year. I hate the preparation. I love doing it. And that's Radiothon. I hate the preparation because it's just for a guy with ADD to have to do everything you do for all that preparation 12 times for each hour. I have a tough time. Ask Jamie. I have a tough enough time doing something once, let alone every little thing you do for that. All the bumpers, everything that's put together has to be done 12 times.
Well, good job. You did
so,
it.
You know, and I'm really happy. That day is so much fun. I mean, that day is a blast. It's just the preparation. That's trouble for that. But I'm proud that we got it done again this year.
Are you going to have it next year?
I always say no. So I'm going to say no, and then they'll talk me into it, and we'll do it again next year. Sponsors have to
be
there,
though.
Way to
stick to your guns there, Glenn.
For some reason, I can be talked into things by the women in my life. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. We all know that.
You know, so I think, you know, that was a biggie. I've had more time this past year to play with Scooter, which has been fun. I still have no goal with Scooter. People say, why don't you compete? Wendy's always bugging me to compete or do whatever. I just have no desire at all to compete in the horse world. I just don't. I have enough pressure. I don't want to put that extra pressure on because I think then it would become a thing I had to do and not something I enjoy doing. And I think that's probably the horse husband in me coming out. It's because, you know, I truly do the horse thing now because I enjoy the horse thing, not because I have to do the horse thing.
Do that.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, I absolutely do not. I'm having a hard time creating goals for competition. I feel like I did the makeover and I'm just exhausted of competing, you know, and so I definitely say,
but your job is a little different now. You're starting horses, which each one of those is a goal, right? I mean, they're shorter term goals because you get them for 60, 90, 180 days or whatever. They're shorter term goals, but each one's a challenge in itself and each one is its own little goal.
Yeah. No, it's really,
it's just, you're not finishing them. You're not taking them to the next step then.
Yeah, but I have my own that I'll do that with.
But you know what? You're doing an amazing thing working with these horses from the rescue. And that's because you are making them to the point where they can find the right home and the person they're supposed to be with. Otherwise, they may not. So that's an amazing thing when you think about it.
Thank you. I'm very proud to be a part of that organization and be associated with them. So thanks. Again, it's Horse and Hound. If you're looking for a horse for adoption, I have a gray one in my barn right now. He's really pretty. So the next thing, you know what? I was going to give what I'm most proud of is I've had a friend that has been kind of difficult on me, but also wonderful for me for the entire, for 20 something years. But also has been getting more and more difficult to deal with and treated me very poorly the last time that we spent time together. And I cut it off. I was like, you know what? You cannot continue to go like down the hill in the way you treat me. And the teenage me or the 20s me who would be in a relationship, let's say a boyfriend, and the boyfriend would, you know, make me feel bad about myself. I'd be like, oh my God, please. You know, I have a spine now. It took me 40 years to become the woman that I wish I was when I was 20. Isn't that the truth about life?
I'm going to get all psychological on you. What made the change? Why the change, do you think?
Why did this friend change?
No, why did you change?
Yeah, maturity. I really don't have time in my life for people that aren't adding to it. You know, if somebody is a life suck, get rid of them.
I'm gonna write this down. I'm out next year.
You are not a life suck, Glenn. You add, okay? But don't
glad to hear that.
Feel bad about yourself. Don't let somebody make you feel bad about yourself. Be you. You do what you need to do. And that to me was like a big growing moment, was like finally cutting off this relationship that I felt was getting more and more toxic, but I held on to because it's been 25 years. You know, you like feel like you have to keep up the situation, and I'm really proud of myself for, I feel better.
In business and in sales, we always taught that you fire your worst client every year. And usually it's one of your smallest clients that's your biggest pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. You fire that person every year and you'll make 20% more the next year.
Oh, wow.
And it's true. It is true.
This definitely emotionally sucked a lot from me, and I'm just really proud of myself for
And you're 20% handling. Better. Look at that.
I'm already 20% better. Boom.
All right. Let's, before we get to our next sponsor and then go into our final segment for this show, what was your favorite vacation spot? We both took vacations this year.
Oh my gosh. So do I have to say a vacation for this year or vacation
this year.
Ever?
This year.
Oh God, Aruba.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I mean, we went to London, which was great, but we had like 3 days in London and we were just downtown and it was fairly hectic. We didn't really get to explore England. But Aruba was just awesome. Just awesome. But if I said ever, I'm going back to Ireland.
Yeah. No, I kind of meant this year.
Again, the wife of the airline pilot. Yes, I understand. This is not real life. I get it.
Well, we had the opportunity to get to England for the first time. Remember, I played a king for 10 years in the acting company we had and doing the medieval feast that we did. And I'd never been to England. And, you know, I played an English king for 10 years.
Did you do an English accent when you were the king?
Yes.
What?
God. Oh, yeah.
You've been holding out an English accent on me for all this time?
So then we went to London and we went to London for a week.
Say that with your British accent.
And we went to Scotland for a week. And then, you know, I got to say, London was okay. We enjoyed going to Tower of London. I actually got to see the king I played, had a bedroom there in the tower and all that. It was kind of cool to see that stuff. But we love Scotland. Scotland is a place we'd go back to. We loved Edinburgh. Of course, the royal tattoo that we saw, the show that we saw was one of the neatest things I've ever seen, just the setting and the whole thing. But Scotland was so cool. I'd love to go back to Scotland. So I think Scotland has to be ours this year, for sure.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with London. It's just Scotland hit home for us.
Both of us were like, we went to London, but this was awesome.
Sorry, all you Londoners. We love you, but I love Scotland. Edinburgh was cool. All right, let's hear from Ovation, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do something that was a request from one of the listeners. We're going to take a little bit look at next year, but we're also, each of us is going to answer the final questions that are asked from inside the Actors Studio. It's something I do on the videos with listeners and special guests in the auditor room when I do those special videos. We're going to ask each other those questions, and that should be a lot of fun. But first, this.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the future, just a couple minutes, and then we'll go into the final questions from inside the Actor Studio and end on that today. So, you know, I have trouble. I'm not a good goal maker, and you think I've been in sales for 40 years, I'd be better at that, but I've always sucked at it, partly because I was always disappointed I didn't hit them, or I hit them too quickly, and it was like, oh, I got to make another one. So I just was like, I'm just going to work hard and do my job, and guess what? You hit your goals anyway, right? I don't know. Are you a good goal maker?
You know, I really like a challenge and like goals, but I always think that in the situation where you're trying to predict, if you predict, sometimes you could potentially limit yourself. You know, like you set a goal and you hit it so quickly, then you just feel like you're done.
Right.
But so I try not to set.
And I like to be done.
Yeah, exactly. So you hit it by March. I'm not going to work hard for the rest of the year. So I sometimes think you're going to limit yourself. So I can't even have imagined all of the things that happened in 2019 when it was the end of 2018. I would never have said, okay, you're going to go to the makeover. You're going to make it. You're going to be successful. You're going to, you know, not embarrass yourself. You're going to go to Monty's and teach the veterans clinics, and then you're going to do this and you're going to do this. I just would have limited myself. So I refuse to answer that question. What are my predictions or
I'm going to throw
goals?
One thing out there. And I didn't mention this earlier when we were doing accomplishments. I'm really proud. And this ties into my goal. I'm really proud of what Jemmy and I have done over in Finding Florida too. We've gotten the attention of the travel industry in Florida, which is big. You know,
awesome.
It's the biggest one in the country, right? So we've gotten their attention to the point where everything we do now, they pay for. They're setting it up. They do the arranging. And it just, you know, it's just been fun. And I'm very proud of the shows we put together. We put a lot of work into those. And it is a lot of work. I mean, editing on those shows is probably 20 hours to edit those episodes. Because we take 25 hours of recordings from 4 or 5 days we're on the road, and we make it into an hour. So, you know, it's a lot of time spent editing. But I'm really proud of those shows. And that ties into this year. I decided... Well, I went on one last year where I rode an electric bike down in Sarasota, and I love the electric bike. And I thought, I'm going to buy one of those, and Jennifer got me one for Christmas. So I've been riding the thing like crazy. So now I have a goal. I'm throwing it out there so I actually do it. You're going to be my accountability partner, okay?
I'm your accountability buddy?
Yes, you are.
So okay, I'm getting a pen.
My goal is, and I've been riding a lot, and what I found with the electric bike, I ride more, I ride longer. And you do pedal because it's an assist. You still have to pedal. It's not a scooter. So I've been riding, and I went out and rode 14 miles the other day, and it's just been having fun with it. So as for one of the episodes of Finding Florida next year, the beginning of April, I am taking 4 or 5 days, and I'm going to ride the coast of Florida, the East Coast, the Atlantic Coast. So I'm going to start in St. Augustine, and I'm going to ride down the coast on A1A. and I'm going to continue down the coast in A1A, and my goal is to get down to the Cape, to Cape Canaveral.
Dude, that's crazy.
So I'm going to get the, Jennifer's going to drop me off. I'm going to get the panniers for the bike, that, you know, the little bags and stuff that go in the back of the bike with all my clothes and all my stuff. I'm going to hotel it. I'm not camping. So forget that.
It's like, most people be like, I'm going to motorcycle with the hog. You know, you're like, I'm going to take my electric bike and go down.
Because I know that if I get so tired, I'm half dead, I can just, you know, crank it up to the maximum assist and go. And
I think that's awesome. Good goal.
I'm going to hotel it because I'm not camping. I'm sorry. But so, yeah, that's my goal. And I'm going to record along the way. I'm going to record people I meet, and I'm going to make an episode of Finding Florida. So I'm throwing it out there, so I stick with it. And you have to ask me occasionally how I'm doing in my training.
Okay.
It's going to be almost 200 miles. So so that's
Proud of you, buddy. It's nice to have a goal.
All right, so that's my goal for next year. That's the only one I have.
Oh, man.
Keep Horse Radio Network running. That's the other goal.
I don't know what mine would be. I'll have to come back to it. I mean, as far as like something big like that, I feel like I'm tapped out, man. I did the makeover last year. Leave me alone.
It'd be my turn. You guys can do the shows without me while I'm gone. I'll check in, all right? I'll call from the beach. I got a bike. I got this bike. A couple of our listeners have gotten the same bikes now because we've talked about it. I got the Rad bike. It's RAD, and it's one of the really fat tire ones. And I mean, these are fat tires. And part of the reason I got that is for when I do the coast ride, I can ride on the beach. You can ride easily on the beach with these bikes.
Oh, so that's cool.
That's part of one of the reasons I did it, is so that I could ride on each beach along the way down. So I can say I rode on all these different beaches. So that's one of the reasons I did it. Anyway, let's go into the questions from inside the actor studio. Anybody that's watched that show knows that James Lipton, who must be 1,010 years old by now, asks the same questions at the end of every episode. And I ask these questions when I've had people on for my special video shows I do in the auditor room. And it's been funny to get answers, and some have been serious and some have been funny, but somebody asked, a couple people have written to me and said, you and Jamie need to do this. I kind of think we did it before, but it might have been a long time ago. So we're going to do it again. So I'm going to ask Jamie these questions first. It's rapid fire, boom, 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 and then you ask me, okay?
Okay.
All right. What is your favorite word?
Can I do a sentence
that
I heard last week?
Word.
Because the sentence is, I got you hay and it's all unloaded.
So what's your favorite word?
My favorite word would be horse, Avi.
Oh, there's an obvious one. What is your least favorite word?
I don't even want to say it.
Okay, if it's a swear word, you have to just tell.
It's not a swear word. It's just a gross word.
Is it moist? Everybody says moist.
No. Panties.
I know. You told me early on when we started this show, this is like 10 years ago, you said, don't use the word panties on the show.
It just,
it just gets your panties in a bunch. So I never used it.
It's so gross. Just a really gross word. I don't know why.
You did. Do you remember telling me that when we first started the show?
It's not a new thing, Glenn. I didn't make it up today. Like, it is when you go like into a Victoria's Secret, they're like, it's a panty sale. Like, oh, why?
Most women that answer that question, by the way, say the word moist. That's another one.
They kind of go together. Gross.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? And it can be more than one word.
A challenge. Dare me to challenge me. Challenge me to do the freestyle in the Thoroughbred makeover and see what happens.
Yeah, I've gotten in trouble challenging the women on this show. So
I think the women that are around you are very similar, because you challenge us, we are going to go above and beyond to like make it happen. I don't know. Like I ride my horses better when I have a competition coming up, and I ride, you know, I work so hard for the entire year for the makeover to get everything done and perfect. And I don't know. I love a challenge.
Somebody asked me, and this was recently, again, another podcaster said, what are the hosts you work with like? And I said, I work with 30 type A women. You try that on a regular basis.
You know, what's funny is I am not type A about most stuff.
You're pretty type A on this show. What turns you off?
Bad weather. I'm learning all about bad weather.
I think you're in there with most of the audience right there. What is your favorite curse word without, you know?
Geld that sh. That one.
What's your...
I say that a lot. I don't think I used to say it as much as I did after starting the show.
What sound or noise do you love?
Oh, there's nothing better than after you've fed all your horses and just sitting there in the total quiet, listening to all of them chew. It's so satisfying.
What sound or noise do you hate?
This is going to say too much about my... I hate the vacuum cleaner. Like, the sound of a vacuum cleaner is like the worst thing.
And if you ever visit her house, you'll see that it's never used. Or do you use it at least?
Well, I have to. It's I have four dogs in a freaking 800 square foot home. I have to, but oh god, not enough.
Did you have one of those vacuum systems built into the new house? Like those all house ones? Because they make less noise, I think.
They don't do that. I don't think they do that anymore. That was like an 80s thing, I think.
They never worked, by the way. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? So let's, in your case, say not horses.
Yeah. I always really wanted to run a kids summer camp.
Huh. Well, you probably will be at some point. That's probably one thing.
No, I've done like horse camps and stuff, but I'm talking like one of those camps where they're like, you know, in the woods and you like ropes climb and just, I don't know. I went to camp when I was a kid and I always thought that would be really
You'd be good at that, actually.
I'd be fun. Yeah.
You'd be good at that. What profession would you not like to do?
I would not like to be my farrier.
That's true.
I tried
or anybody's
to trim,
farrier.
Anybody's farrier. I just want to trim horses' feet. I tried to trim Duke myself because he doesn't do much. And I'm like, I can do this. Oh my God, I can't do that. That's insane. The other thing was to hang drywall because I saw the guys hanging the drywall in the house.
Oh, that looks like a crappy job.
That looks like the worst.
I've hung drywall. That is a crappy job.
Yeah, it looks very difficult.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, this one chokes me up talking about this because I thought about it.
Well, you just decided what's on your tombstone. So, I mean.
It's true. Here's my phone. Yell Dutch. It's like it's free. I think I would like to have God say to me, hey, you're here. They've been waiting for you. And point over to all the best horses, dogs, and friends and people. And, you know, there's a moment during my wedding where I looked down the aisle because we had a kind of a destination wedding and down in Florida on the beach and really only my super best.
I think
best...
it's that beach I'm starting at, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. St. Augustine.
Yep.
I remember looking on the aisle and seeing Chad there and my parents and all my friends and seeing like, this is what I hope I see when I get to, like, I felt like I was looking into heaven, you know, like, these are all the people that you're going to see and spend time with when you go to heaven. But I would love to have all the best animals. I'd like to see Lucky again. You know, I just have some pretty special animals that have been, as all of us have been a part of my life. So they've been waiting for you.
All right. I think you're going to be surprised how eerily similar some of mine are.
Oh, that's really frightening. Okay. What's your favorite word?
Favorite word is funny. And I'll tell you in what context. At the end of a show, when you, after the show's over and we're just talking, when you say you were funny today, that means so much to me. When you say you were funny today.
You were funny today.
That's exactly how you say it too. And it's, and you always say it with such great surprise. So there's that.
Like, whoa, that was weird. Yeah. You were funny today.
Yeah, you were actually funny today.
Oh my God. I think the funniest you've ever been was like 2 weeks ago. You know the episode I'm talking about. Yes. I spit out my coffee like 10 times that episode. We'll have to play that one as a best of.
I have to find it. I don't remember which one it was. I'll have to find it. I think it was a Friday though.
Usually is.
Yeah.
Never funny on a Monday. What's your least favorite word?
Politics.
Ooh, good
in
one.
Every context.
Good one. Oof. Meh. What turns you on, creative, spiritually, or emotionally?
Performing on stage, and I miss doing that. I get to do it occasionally when I'm doing speaking at the conferences, but performing on stage.
Really? That gives me nightmares.
10 years. So, you know, we did it for 10 years. I loved having the audience right there. We actually are performing on stage when we're doing this show, but we don't get that immediate feedback. So
no,
there's
nobody listening. The only way I can do this show is that I'm just
if we were doing this on stage, she'd be screwed.
Which you could probably tell by listening to me.
But if you think about it, we have thousands of listeners to this show. If you think about it, the biggest concerts you've gone to, we would be on stage in front of that size audience every day.
All right, I'm leaving. Andrew Gelb, I have a good one. What turns you off?
Politics. I have to do that again. So everything related to politics.
Do you know what's really funny? Do you know what's really ironic about your least favorite word and what turned you off is I got you a politically themed Christmas gift.
Oh, no. You know how much I hate politics.
I know. I saw it and I was like, God, this makes me so happy. Have to send it to Glenn. You'll see when you open it. You'll understand.
Apparently, it's arrived, so we'll open it and I'll tell you what all is on Friday.
Oh, you'll die. You're gonna love it. Okay. I don't think most people will get it. Like I didn't. It took me. I had to see it to get it.
Okay.
What is your favorite cuss word?
You know, I thought about this and I thought, which is the one I say all the time without thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it's. You know, that one.
Yeah.
That's someone I say. I don't use the F word a lot, so it's that one for sure.
Oh, I do. Yeah. But the S word comes
apparently
out.
Apparently, you
quicker.
Swear with your kids' teachers, so there's that.
I just don't want him to be an a-hole. What sound or noise do you love?
Same as yours, for a different reason. So this is a horse husband speaking. I love the sound of horses eating in the barn after your work is done. Because it means your work is done. And you listen to the horses for a couple minutes and that hard day and the cold out in the barn, taking care of all those crummy horses and cleaning the stalls and doing all that means that then we're going in. So I always love that sound right before I go in the barn of the horses eating. So ours is the same for different reasons.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. And you're like, I finally get to get out of this damn barn.
Horse husband speaking.
What sound or noise do you hate?
A dog or cat puking in the middle of the night.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Doesn't everybody hate that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've all lived it. And do you lay there and think, should I get it now or wait till morning?
I mean, I'm pretty quick about waking up to when I hear it. Because, the other song I hate, a sound I hate is when the dogs are like licking their paws. So if there's any sort of like licking, I get them out. Let's go out.
Yeah, that is annoying. Have you ever stepped in the puke in the morning without seeing it?
What sound or noise? what profession other than your own would you like to? We've all stepped in dog puke and dog poo in the middle of the night. It's
awful.
Inevitable if you own
it's
a pet.
Awful.
You're
going to
cat poo is the worst.
What profession would I like to? This is going to surprise you, but I've always wanted to do it, and I never did, was become a pilot.
Stop it.
No, I always wanted to get my pilot's license and then maybe someday become a pilot, and I never did it.
Oh my gosh, yep. That's so cool. I think I've told you this before, but when I was doing radio in Atlanta and Chad was living in Phoenix, I had to go to a car, what are the NASCAR races?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to like interviewed. I worked for a country station.
You got to go in the pits. People pay a fortune to get in the pits.
I know. And I had to go in the pits and I have to like interview drivers, right? And I have literally no idea I'm like, this place is gross. There's like dirt and like grease fumes. Dirt everywhere. Fumes. These guys walk around like, you know, anyway. I had to go down and I texted Chad we were dating and I'm in the pit. I'm like, yeah, I got to go interview, you know, Dale Jr. or whatever. And he was like, by the way, if you ask those guys what they would like to do, if they're not, I think his text, we had talked about it before. His text reply was, just so you know, those guys wish they were me.
Fighter pilot.
Like, I guess if you ask a race car driver this same exact question, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt? They'd probably all say fighter pilot.
Yeah,
so
it's the next step, right? For
and,
speed.
You know, the thing is, you have to have that sort of ego when you're flying $30 million jets that could kill you in an instant. So
yes.
I guess, you know, as I was like, kind of, he's a dick. And then I'm like, well, he's kind of cool. And he's hot. What profession would you not like to do?
Not like to be the sign holder at a construction site on the highway. The stop sign guy.
Stop sign guy.
Everybody hates him. There's nobody that likes the stop sign guy.
I always am nice to them. I always go, hi, thank you.
I know, but everybody hates the stop. It's hot, it's miserable, and you're there. You're the lowest on the pecking order of construction workers.
You don't even get to work.
Everybody hates you. So, no, I wouldn't like
I was thinking you were whole. Do you guys have those in Florida, the sign flippers for like neighborhoods and businesses and stuff where the people stand on the corner and they flip the signs around?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Try doing that at 1,000 degrees and Phoenix or Florida.
Phoenix. They do it in Phoenix. I'm like, dude, I stopped and be like, you need some sunscreen?
I admire them, though. They're out there doing it. And a lot of them are very fun. They're twisting and twirling. It, and
it's awesome. Finally, last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Same thing as you. Finally, I have been waiting for you.
He has?
Yep.
Or they have?
God has been waiting for. Finally, I have been waiting for you. Meaning, God has been waiting for you.
Aw,
so that's what I wrote.
Yeah. I'd be like, "Am I in trouble? Why are you waiting? What did I do?"
Yeah, I didn't. Like, I didn't really elaborate on what the consequences of that were, but
yeah, it's like, why are you waiting on me? Don't you see like a billion people every second? Okay, like what? What did I do? Do you have work for me?
Well, that was fun. Actually, that was fun. I don't.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make your.
No, that's true.
Moment.
I like, didn't think about the second part.
I just have such a. It's like your parents going, "We need to talk when we
You're
get
paranoid.
Home." I got a letter from Lucas's school this morning, and it said to the parents of Lucas Jennings, and I was like, "Oh crap, I'm in trouble."
I swear to teacher.
Oh God, I'm in trouble. What I do?
You now have a mark on your record at elementary school. Do they still talk about the permanent record? Is that still a reference?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think in first
Remember
grade.
The permanent record? You used to talk about the permanent. It'd be on your permanent record.
It'd be on your permanent record.
Where does that go? Who has that permanent record? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure my permanent record did not follow me to college.
Okay? Now we're sounding like Jeff Foxworthy. Where is that permanent record? Or Seinfeld? Whatever happened to the permanent record? It wasn't so permanent after all. Well, thanks, everybody. We appreciate you being here all year. We'll be back on Friday, so we'll have one last final live episode on Friday. We'll have the fox hunting ladies will be with you tomorrow. So we're going to have a lot of fun on Friday. It's going to be all about the holidays, and we're going to play some trivia and just have a good time. Jennifer will be here, too. So those that have been missing Jennifer, she'll be here. She has to ask the questions, and then us all get mad at her. We have to do that
Glenn's
one more time.
Getting her out of the barn.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, everybody. Really. And thank you, Jamie. This has been a fun year. We've had a good year here on Horses in the Morning.
Cheers, boss. Talk to you. He loves it when I call him boss.
Yeah, by the way. I love that.
Yeah, he does. Cheers, boss. Love you, mean it. And talk to you Friday. Everybody, spay, neuter, geld. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, by the way, Abby is coming tonight. She's flying in, and she's going to be the first rider on Baby Zara this week.
Oh, she's going to be your test dummy?
Heck yeah.
So tall, her feet probably hit the ground.
She can hook him under the belly.